Yeah, man. So I wonder if we can just stay in that attitude of worship. I really feel like I know we can quickly get distracted and move on. That's how we deal with things in life. We just try and move on. And I really do feel like the Lord wants to get into something, and He wants to come and cut through us. That's why I actually decided in that moment, let's land worship. Let's let the Lord come and speak into our hearts. But I want to encourage you. This is my friend. His name is Gerrit. Yeah, it's not Stephen Furtick. Joking. It's his worst joke. He hates that joke. He's much buffer than Stephen Furtick. He's a good friend of mine. And man, such a gift to me, to our family, but then actually to the church. They lead an incredible work. They lead a church which has a few congregations in KZN, multiple. And so, man, he's just been such a gift. And we've had him many times building into us, and so I almost hope that this morning that the groundwork is already laid, that you can just see him and receive from him this morning. But I wanted to say, as we go into what he's sharing, I really felt the Lord leave me with a question at the end of worship that I'd love to ask you. The Lord is able, are you willing? I felt like even when that word came this morning, for some people it feels like, man, it's impossible. It's impossible. The Lord is able. Are you willing? I think sometimes we think the Lord is not willing and we're not able. No, He is able. Are you willing? So Lord, I pray, would this word come and cut us? Would it be like seed that falls on good soil and bears good fruit in our lives? We thank you for this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen.
Morning. Can I use that tissue? Is that used? So morning. It's always lucky to be with you. I've got Rob here. If you haven't met him, he's on our eldership team back in Durban. He's here for the week for some other things, but it's lovely to have him with us. It's always great to be with you in Sunningdale. I told him this morning, this used to be our home congregation. Well, in a sense, we used to meet in the morning here before the Lord planted us out to KZN. And so it's always wonderful to see familiar faces, but always amazing to see new faces and what God is doing in this congregation and in this area and the people that He's adding and those that are coming in and getting saved. I have such a sense this morning, you know, I tend to normally preach a message that goes something like this. Let's charge the hills. Let's go. Let's worry about what it costs us later. Let's just go for it. Let's lay our lives down. Let's just give everything. Let's just go for it, you know. And Rob will know. I mean, he's been on the team with me now for a few years. And I think sometimes many of him having lost his hair is because of me, the stress that I put him through. And the thing that I feel the Lord saying, and He's a bit more calculated, you know. But this morning, I feel like the Lord wants to. I feel like He wants to increase fruitfulness in us. But I feel like He wants to teach us what resting in Him looks like first. Because I feel like for many of us, there's a sense of weariness and tiredness that has come upon us. And I feel like the Lord wants to show us what it looks like to be yoked with Him and to be fruitful from a place of being yoked with Him. And so for many of you, even as I say the word, being more fruitful, the first thought is, well, I need to get busier. And although there's a fruitfulness that the Lord wants to bring, I believe it's from a place of rest that He wants to bring it. And even as we read Matthew 11:30, it says, "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." And I feel like this morning He even wants to swap with some of you a working of trying to be fruitful in your own right, a working of wanting to qualify yourself, a working of wanting to add to what's already been done, so that even that sense, that word that Lona brings, it's so good, because it's almost like I'm running around and then I get completely dismayed, because I know even my own efforts have actually created me to be even further separated from God. In the pursuit of fruitfulness, we actually separate ourselves from Him. And so this morning, I feel like the Lord is almost saying to us, come back to the garden. Come back to the place where you walk with me. And you know my presence, the place that's where you're meant to experience me, and not just experience me, but from a place of being with me and in me and me in you, you begin to bear fruit. So my prayer this morning is that the Lord would throw off heavy yokes and heavy burdens and self-qualification and self-fruit. And I believe that this morning there's even some of you that your version of serving Jesus has been your ability to bear fruit in your own right. And I believe this morning some of you have not actually even properly yielded to His Lordship and His Lordship producing fruit in your life. I believe some of you this morning will give your life to Him for the first time out of a place of trying to be self-righteous and self-cleansed. And so it's actually, I believe, one of the most exciting things we could ever hear. As His people, like, He doesn't just desire for us to be fruitful, but He's made the way. And why do I speak about coming back to the garden? The break with perfect fellowship with God and being in His presence happened out of two things. There was an obedience that God asked from Adam and Eve in the garden. He had set boundaries for them. The problem was that there was a sense of trust that what He had provided not being enough, and for them to try and grab off something extra outside of what He'd already provided. And so the grasp of more and the dissatisfaction with what He's given is a thing that moves us outside of the faith that what He's given is actually enough. What He's providing is enough. So maybe even before I carry on, I feel even for us just to even open up our hearts this morning. Just to say, Lord, Your word asks us, You ask us in Your word to come to You if we are weary or heavily laden. You ask us. You desire it of us. It's not a request or it's a good idea. It's the only way in which our burdens are lifted and heaviness is lifted. And so maybe this morning for you, as you're sitting and where you're sitting, if you know there's a sense of self-work and self-production of fruit or self-justification, and maybe we can just sit and invite Him and ask Him. But not ask Him to come to us, but us go to Him, because the word says, come to me. So maybe just where you're sitting, let's just close our eyes. And just where you're sitting, just for you, just begin to pray out to the Lord. Say, Lord, would You come? But Lord, I want to come to You. Lord, I want to come to You. Instead of going to something else or some other measure of fruit that I think is valuable in Your sight, that when I can produce that in my own right, I feel like I'm with You properly. Lord, this morning, I decide to cast all those things aside and I want to come to You. I want to come to You, Lord. It's what I desire. This morning, I believe, Lord, that what You've provided is enough. That the boundaries You've set are good. And they're enough. Thank You for that, Lord. Amen. So I want to look at a passage with you about bearing fruit. And before I do that, I want to look at what it looks like to actually have God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit make their home in us. Did you know that that's what he wants? Did you know that he doesn't want to just be with you when you've done the right things, and that when you are in your quiet time, or when you're listening to your favorite worship song, or whatever it looks like, your holy moment looks like to you, there are times outside of that he longs to be at home in you. And the times that he's at home in you is not always when you're listening to worship or having your quiet time. There are other times, and we're going to look at it in the Word now, where he makes his home in you because of something that you do. And I know I'm kind of contradicting myself, because I just spoke about how we can't bear fruit in our own right, yet there's an aspect of response we bring him and give him and heal to him that causes them to make their home within us. John 14, verse 23, Jesus says this, and it's remarkable how easy it actually is. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and say this with me, and we will come and make our home with them. We're going to try that again. I don't know if I went too fast. Maybe you heard a different language. So, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Did he say, if you are incredibly fruitful, we would find you pleasing? If you work very hard and you are just a wonderful, beautiful creation, you are now good enough for us to be with you. Or did he say, I have given you a teaching. The teaching is that you would believe that who he is enough. And that by believing who he is and abiding in him and living according to what he asks, he will say there's obedience. In other words, he comes to you, you know him, he asks you certain things. And so what he requires from you is to be obedient. What did he require of Adam and Eve? Be obedient. The fellowship, the perfect fellowship, hinged on one thing. Not on how fruitful they were within the garden, but on their obedience with the Lord. And for some reason, you know, we have this enemy, it says in the Word, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking to see what he can devour. What does he devour? He devours flesh. He devours whatever in your worst, in your seemingly best efforts you try to present God. The Lord says, it's displeasing to me. And so what he does is he devours, he eats of that stuff, because you're trying to give flesh. John 6:63 says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit. I wonder this morning how many of us long to have deeper, more wild, intimate times with our Lord. Walking into a room and feeling His presence. Or consistently being consistent. Why? Not because you see a psychiatrist or psychologist, nothing against those people, because there's a place. But not because you've got your self-help, self-medication, best YouTube shorts that build you up for the moment. But because you've learned to be obedient to what God is asking you to do, and therefore there's this outworking that begins to happen in your life. Just before that John 6:63, where Jesus says, The Spirit gives life and the flesh counts for nothing. He made a strong statement to his disciples. How many of you know what that statement is? How many of you know what he said to his disciples when he actually lost many? He says to them, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. In other words, now just in case you don't know, today this is an out there statement. In those days, it was a more radical out there statement because the Jews had an incredibly strict law when it comes to blood in itself. So for Jesus to say, unless you drink of my blood, it was an outrageous thing. Because to them, blood represented life. But was that not the whole point? That you would receive life not in yourself, but from him. That it's not a life that you've produced, that you've created, that you manage. And why? Because that is what makes you tired and weary and burdened and ashamed, running around in a field filled with thorns, trying to self-atone. And so isn't it wonderful that the Lord says, I don't just save you. I don't just make you new. I don't just want you to walk with me, but I want you to be fruitful. I want your life and I want your fruit not to be because of your story, but I want your fruit within your story to be for my glory. So that all can see that this thing that's happening in your life is not of your own accord. It's not of your own doing. And so doing, the yoke is lifted, the burden is light, because remaining in him is the only thing we need to do. Remaining obedient is the only thing we need to do. Full of thorns, running to him is the only thing we need to do. And I feel like even yesterday, you know, for those that were there, much of my message was, as a church and as a congregation, I'm blown away how much you guys are growing. I mean, I want to hear what the recipe is. I don't know what it is, but it's, you guys are growing radically. And there's this danger within growth that we look at momentum more than conviction. And we end up going, well, almost you switch it for, there's a moment where the Lord's doing stuff and you see what's happening through everybody else and their convictions and what God's doing in their life. And instead of just remaining in him even more, you switch it for trying to just keep up with others. And you end up trying to do the right things, and it's efforts, and it's flesh, and it's... And the next thing you know, there's this heavy burden. The next thing you know, you're weary and tired. But Jesus says to you this morning, come to me, all who are weary. You see, he doesn't want to build his church through weary, heavily laden people. He wants to build his church through those that run to him and receive an easy yoke. He wants to do that through a people that when the world looks at you, they go, certainly he is here. Is that okay? So as much as he wants to increase fruitfulness, he wants to increase, I almost feel like your awareness or ability or learning how to come and rest in him. And it's funny, you know, in the last while, I would say, in terms of even ministry for myself, things have increased somewhat, a little bit. And the only way it can be sustained is by increasing rest in him. Not increased fruitfulness in ministry. In fact, increased fruitfulness in ministry, according to myself, with no increased rest in him, results in a major catastrophe. I've been there. But the same is true for all of us. So let's quickly look at this passage. You guys still with me? Everyone's okay? Let's look at bearing fruit. I'm warm. Is anyone else warm? Sorry, I am at least wearing... No, no, stop it, man. Anyway. Bearing fruit. John, stop it, man. John 15, verse 1 to 8. Let's get back to the Holy Scripture. Let's read this together. You don't have to say it out loud, but in your mind, read it as I'm reading it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Okay, so in a sense, say this to yourself. He is the true vine, not you, and his Father is the gardener. In other words, he is the source, not you, and you're not the one that needs to make things look pretty. He is. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Why? So that it'll be even more fruitful. So it's kind of like you think, okay, well, if I just remain in him, I'm just always going to bear fruit. And it's just going to be amazing. I want to tell you something this morning. Sometimes the cutting off is stuff that you really like. Sometimes the cutting off is the sin and shame. And breaking down your life. And sometimes it's just cutting off what's unholy and keeping you from him. But the thing in the scripture is that it only gets done in him. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. And then there's this beautiful promise that the Lord gives us. It's this thing that he says to us, I don't just want to save you, bring you to me, restore you to me, because there was a sense of disobedience at one time, and I haven't just made a sacrifice that is the ultimate sacrifice to bring you to me. I don't just want you to bear fruit, but I want to say something to you. You cannot bear fruit outside of me. And so he's saying to you, I've done all that needs to be done to save you, to bring you back to me, to bring you back to that place of fellowship, back to the garden. And I haven't just done that. I'm not just wanting you to be fruit, but I don't expect you. And in fact, you cannot bear fruit outside of me. Isn't that wonderful? It's not like he's asking us to go out there and be a little fruit orchard by ourselves. And then hopefully when we are grown enough and perfect enough and produce the right things, we'll get his gaze. It sounds like an outrageous statement, but think about how you live your life in the Lord. Think about how you run away to plant and produce your little fruit orchard and just be fruitful. Because if you're just good enough, big enough, beautiful, more beautiful enough, somehow you'll get his gaze. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. From verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he's really driving this home. Do you get that? He says it a few times. I wonder why. Why? Because he's coming against the Pharisaical law. He's coming against law. He's coming against self-justification. If you remain in me, sorry, this is a big one. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory. And I am going to unpack that little scripture just very quickly just now. Because it does not mean ask for a Lamborghini Diablo or a McLaren P1. That's that thing. Right. That's true. What is the new one? Giving away my age, Dan says. This is the clincher, verse 8. All of this stuff, all of this fruitfulness, all of this pruning, all of this bearing fruit is for what? Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear how much fruit? Much fruit. Showing yourselves to be my disciple. Disciples. What's the evidence of you being a disciple? Bearing much fruit. And it's interesting, I looked at this morning, and I don't ever really do this. Oh, wait. I'm missing my... Where is this word of mine now? Okay, I'm going to leave that. I was going to use a very clever Greek word and what it means, and then now it's getting messed up, so I'm going to leave that alone because I can't find the other word. Sorry, Lord, for trying to seem clever. It was relevant in the moment, okay? So just bear with me. All right, so I want to look at three little points here. Firstly, he cuts off what doesn't bear fruit if you remain in him. And as I've already said, his intention for your life is not just to go to heaven. His intention is to make his glory known through your life. And it's not just through one day preaching or planting a church or all these things. It's through the evidence that his life has taken a hold of your life, and the things that keep you from him have been demolished and dealt with, and that you're in him. That's what that means. The second one is that every branch that does remain in him, he prunes. So the question to you this morning, and I want to ask you this morning, is do you want to be fruitful? No, but no, seriously, Josh, Jen, Sunningdale, 8:30 a.m., it's a very long name. Do you want to be fruitful? Are you okay with being pruned? Wow. I'm so glad these things are recorded. Because it's like the Lord saying, do you know what that sometimes might come with? Because when the pruning comes, we lose sight of the fact that he actually wants to make us fruitful. And here's the thing. Making you more fruitful is not always elevating you or lifting you for you to look good. Fruitful is more glory of God being shown through your life. It's when your story is without hope, desolate, you cannot be saved. He comes in and he saves you. It's super fruitful because there's the glory of God being shown through your life. It's not suddenly you live in some mansion with this most beautiful husband you could ever have imagined and your whole life is just turned into the storybook fairy tale. It looks like Jesus saving you from the most unsavable situation. A little while ago, we moved from Richards Bay to Ballito to Durban, which is not the same place, but there. And I have this lemon tree. My wife bought it for me for Christmas a few years ago. This stupid thing, not because I don't like the gift. I love lemons. I mean, I love lemons so much that when we're staying with Dan and Sam, they know I love lemons. Okay? It's a weird thing to say, but anyway, I do. They know it so much, they bought extra lemons to have in the house. They even left you know how people normally leave a chocolate on your pillow? They left a lemon on my pillow. That's how much. So I love lemons. So my wife buys me a lemon tree for Christmas. I mean, and this thing just will not bear fruit. It grows like a millimeter, I don't know, my love, like a year. It's like, you are pathetic. And I'm watering it, and it's like, and also, it's that we got these vivid monkeys where we live, so it's the only thing they won't eat. So it's great. It won't bear fruit. And then there came a time when we now had to move from that house to further south towards Ballito. We're now living there.
And I decide this pot that it's in is massive. It's very heavy. It's full of gravel. And I don't even remember how we got it on the trailer. But we got it on the trailer. And instead of protecting it, what we did is we put it right at the back of the trailer. Okay. Now, if you know anything about aerodynamics, if the aerodynamics comes from the front, it kind of like makes this cone and it like meets at the back. Okay. And so the air is rushing past my car as I'm driving towards where we're going to live now. And the pot, this thing has grown. It's got some green leaves, but there's no fruit. And so we drive and we get there. And it was a hot day. And let me just say to you, if it's hot by us, it's hot. Okay, I don't think you guys know what a hot is. Okay. Okay, you got hot, but you got a heat wave. That's like an unusual thing for you. For us, it's just another Tuesday morning. And with like 90-something percent humidity. Okay, so we're driving, we're rushing, we're going. And I get there, and this tree's standing like this. And it's brown, suddenly, within an hour and a half's drive. And all the leaves have even come off. And I think, you are really pathetic, this tree. I'm not even going to carry you upstairs. And then I just decide, well, whatever. I was about to pull it out and chuck it aside. And I don't know why I didn't. It's not by my own wisdom. I decided to leave it in there, take it upstairs. And friends of ours come to visit. And they are incredibly knowledgeable when it comes to gardening. And I say to this lady, her name's Rihanna. I said, Rihanna, look at this thing. It's pathetic. It doesn't even grow anything. And she looks at it. She goes, and I said to her, I'm going to throw it out. What can I plant here in this area that's going to grow and bear fruit? She says, no. Do you have some scissors? I said, yeah, I do. But this thing's gone, man. I mean, I wish I had a picture of it. It looked like a tumbleweed in the desert, but planted in a pot. She comes and cuts a whole bunch of things, and I'm thinking, this is a shame. I'm going to humor her, you know. I mean, I've heard she's good, but this is crazy, you know. And so she cuts away. There's like hardly anything left. We're staying in that house. We didn't even get much rain. A few weeks later, green leaves appear on that tree. A few weeks later, the thing actually starts growing. A few weeks later, little buds appear. A few weeks later, fruit appears. And I realize it's not a lemon tree, it's a lime tree. Because the stupid thing only produced fruit now. And I think there's something in the story for us to take home in so many ways. Like sometimes we need to be on the back end of a trailer, getting all the force wind from the front, getting bent out of shape, losing all the fruit that we've produced, the little leaves we've produced, evading and avoiding pruning, because I've got this, Lord. I can do it, Lord. To the point where the one who knows, when everyone else looks at you sometimes and gives up hope, like I did with that little tree, and thinks it's impossible, it cannot be done, he comes. And he knows where to cut, when to cut, how to cut, and he will produce in you fruit. Maybe this morning some of us need to say, Lord, I'm done trying to bear fruit outside of you. I'm done. I'm going to trust your processes. I'm going to trust what you're doing. And I'm going to trust anything that's beautiful about me that I brought about. And I'm going to actually cast it aside. Even if, according to me, what I've created, what I've done, causes me to look bare and dead, I'd rather go there, because your word says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot take root and grow up. So how can we respond to that this morning? How do we respond to the Lord this morning? What do we do? Do we come to the place where we say, Jesus, I'm done trying. I want to follow you. I want to be with you. I want to be in your presence. I want to know you as my Lord and Savior, but I realize this morning I cannot do it without you. Maybe for some of you this morning, you're here for the first time and you're hearing a message for the first time. Maybe if I can get the worship team to come up. For the first time, you're hearing a message that resounds, this message of mercy and grace and love outside of anything that you've ever done to make yourself worthy of receiving that mercy and that grace and that love, because that in itself is the essence and the message of the power of the gospel. It's not living a good life, even by social standards, and thinking, I'm now ready to bend my knee to the Lord. It's when you're in your worst, when you've got nothing to offer. Yeah. Or even when you think you've got much to offer, to come and bend your knee and say, Lord, I realize now that nothing that I have that I think is seemingly good is good in your eyes. It's coming in and receiving Him. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What He requires me is I throw off everything and I come to Him. And He lifts me up. Can we all stand? Maybe just close your eyes. To those guys that for the first time this morning are hearing a message that is a message of reconciliation. It's a message of forgiveness. It's a message of true change, not self-change, momentarily. It's a message that brings you to a new journey, a new place where He would be the one to make in you, to create in you new life. I feel like the Lord for you wants to bring a rest. I feel like there are some here that are even here maybe for the first time this morning that have never heard this message. And even in your chest, you're feeling like you almost want to breathe a sigh of relief. Like, just breathe out. I can do it, Lord, if I just come to You. Yeah. It's not up to my efforts or my trying to do it. It's just coming to You, Jesus. Kneeling before Your Lordship. Receiving who You are. Drinking of Your blood. It's life. Eating of Your flesh that's been destroyed on my behalf. It's believing it this morning. Maybe if that's you this morning and you've never responded to that message, that receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that He was the one that was sacrificed on your behalf, that He died, defeated death, and rose again on the third day, not for some random reason, but to rise from the dead and bring life to you. The Word says, those who the Son, Jesus, the Son sets free, are free indeed. Not those who set themselves free. Those who the Son sets free. He wants to set you free this morning. I wonder if that's you and you want to respond to that message. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe if you could just raise your hand where you are. Say, this morning, Jesus, I want to receive You as my Lord. Just where you are, I just want to pray over you. It's just an acknowledgement. It's actually, you know what? It's when you lift your hand, you're actually saying, I'm done trying. And I'm acknowledging that my trying will never get me right with God. Thank You. I see that hand. Thank You, Lord. Is there anyone else? I feel like there is. I'm just going to wait you a little bit. Thank You. I see that hand. Thank you. Just keep your hand up. I'm not asking you to do that to embarrass you, because no one's actually looking at you. Everyone's busy focusing on the Lord, because all of us here are actually before our Lord and our Savior saying, Lord, forgive me for my filthy efforts that I try and do in my own right. We all like saying, Lord, I just want to, just keep your hand up. It's just like Lord, thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your saving grace. Thank You for what You do. Thank You, Lord. for the rest of us, maybe this morning, you realize there's been this distance that you've created between you and the Lord. When you do things well, you do things right, there's a sense of closeness. But the second you're not there and you're not able to produce that fruit, there's this distance that gets created. And you want to be fruitful, but you're just not able to. And this morning you realize it's like the lights came on. You're not abiding in me. You're not abiding me. Maybe for some of you, you've resisted the pruning. You've done what's needed to just get by and get around and try and make yourself. And this morning the Lord says, you know I want to prune you. And he's saying, you know you want to say, and you need to say this morning, Lord, I want to allow you to prune me. So if that's you, just in receiving, actually, just raise your hands where you are. Say, Lord, I don't want to just be fruitful in my own right. Lord, I want to be pruned by you, which is like a radical prayer. It's a prayer of surrender, actually. It's a prayer of saying, Lord, outside of you, I can bear no fruit. And I want to bear much fruit. Why? Because I want you to have all the glory. So Lord, come into my life right now. Lord, come into my life. I want to bear fruit. I want to remain. I want to be remained in you. I want you in me, but I want to remain in you. I want you to make my dwelling, your dwelling in me, Lord. I know I'm throwing out a few calls here this morning, but if that's you, just pray between you and Jesus, because you're going to need to know what it's like to go and be in Him. Maybe there's a sense of obedience that's required this morning, and you know He's asked you to be obedient in an area. He's asked you of something. He's asked you for something. He's asked you to step into something. And you know this morning He's saying, that thing, come on, just jump in there. Be obedient. Do it this morning. And even as a sign of surrender, just say, Lord Jesus, this morning I choose. You've asked me. You've set parameters in my life. You've set the boundaries. I'm going to trust that what you've done is enough. I'm going to trust that what you give is enough. I'm going to trust you over myself this morning, and that it's enough. Just lift your hands where you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just begin to pray out. Pray out loud. And just so you know, I'm feeling like there's a sense of us needing to, as individuals, come to the Lord this morning. So I'm going to ask the worship team just to play in the background. And I'm going to implore you this morning, if you are responding to the Lord this morning, for you to come to Him. The word says, come to me, all who are weary. So even in your worship, come to Him this morning. Come to Him as He ministers to you this morning.